wearing shoes.
And the Stallion.
Stallion, baby! I am not what you would call a handsome man.
I'll kick you in the nuts and you'll smile at me and like it.
All night long.
And we are back with another week of the All Night Long Wrestling Podcast. We are your hosts, The Enforcer, The Stallion, and we are back once again. If only you guys were listening to the live version, you could have heard The Stallion say, and I quote, "I didn't know we were going on nipples."
We should probably give a little background on that, I think.
I think it might be better if we just leave it the way. No,
people are going to think I'm a giant weirdo if I just say things, you know, I mean, who's this guy talking about nipples and TV? I mean, I don't know. You were counting it down. You're like three, two, well, before we start the show, right? We play the opening, and then you're like, and then I hit record as we get ready to start, and then you say 3, 2, 1, nipples, and then I didn't start the recording, and then you started playing the intro, and we weren't recording it, and I said I didn't realize that we were going on nipples. That's how that's the genesis of the nipple story. So
either way, we went in on nipples. Either way. How do you segue from a nipple opening? I mean, I don't even know what to do. Well, we're back. I apologize if I sound nasally. I've been a little under the weather. I'm better today than I was, but I was under the weather, and like a trooper, I didn't take off of work, and I went to White Plains yesterday.
How was it up there?
Seventh Circle of Hell, Joe. Remember the episode of Married with Children when Al went to hell and he met the devil and they fed him nothing but weenie tots?
Mm.
Worse than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the foliage like in White Plains this time of year?
Hypodermic needles.
Just falling from the trees?
Falling from the trees, okay. Yep. Lots of needles, and I saw a couple of bloody Band-Aids and a Vitamin World. So,
all right.
Really covering all your bases.
Sounds like a worthwhile trip.
Mm. There was also a pressure cooker bomb that wasn't a bomb under the, I think it was the Bronx River Parkway. Which we took home. So if we were like a good 30 minutes later, I'd probably still be in Brooklyn right now. Wasn't a fun trip, pal. But, you know, I'm just out there, 1, 2, 3, pin me, pay me. Job Squad, 2017 version. What are we talking about this week, Bob?
Was it more or less painful than this week's episode of Raw, I guess? Do you want to start with that?
It was, it actually took me 3 hours to get there. No. 2.5 hours to get there and 3 hours to get home. So I think in total it was 5.5 hours plus 7 hours of work, roughly as painful.
Yeah, again. Okay, that sounds pretty bad.
Except Braun Strowman didn't come in halfway through the day and put me out of my misery. So, So I mean, on that note, why wouldn't we start on Raw, right? This week's episode of Monday Night Raw started off with, I feel like since the Raw ratings are slipping, Vince is already, BK and I were talking about this, and Vince is already blaming it on Kevin Owens. So we are getting a lot more Roman Reigns. I think that's a good booking on his part, man. Let's get that Roman Reigns hype train coming. Pumped. I really fast forwarded through the opening segment, so if you have any idea what happened, feel free to tell me, Joe.
Well, I think they just sort of, they had set up Rusev and Seth Rollins in a non-title match for the night, and then he ended up giving Roman Reigns, this is Mick Foley when I say he, Mick Foley gave Roman Reigns a rematch from the prior week against Kevin Owens, this time in a steel cage. It was a non-title match. There was really nothing on the line in this one. The prior week, Roman had fought Owens with a chance to put himself into the main event of Clash of Champions, but that didn't happen, so it was just a straight rematch for the cage in a cage for the main event. So that was, as you alluded to earlier, right? Putting Reigns in the main event, maybe hot-shotting a cage match for no reason. But so they set some of those things up. The first match was Rusev and Seth Rollins, which went to a double countout in just under 12 minutes. I can't say that I remember a whole lot about the match that stood out. I mean, the end, they kind of brawled up to the ramp. And Rollins did a little bit of a dive off the ramp onto Rusev on the side of the rampway.
They tried to make that dive a lot bigger than it was.
Yeah, it was like 3 feet, right? Something like that. I mean, it's like the shallow end of the pool. That's how I equated it. I didn't really see a whole lot.
Coming out with a lot of venom this week early. Oh, yeah, just, I know. It was. I feel like they had no chemistry. I mean, it was they gave a time, which I'm not. I do appreciate the WWE giving these guys time, but I just didn't feel it in that match between these two. And like you, it was very, you know, it was very forgettable.
Yeah, the tough thing about Rollins, I guess I would say, is
I'm sorry, I didn't mean you were forgettable, because it just sounded like I said you were forgettable.
No, that's also accurate.
No, like you had said, it was a very forgettable match.
Yes, no, yeah. I think the one thing about Rollins is that when he came back from his injury a couple of months ago, I thought he was pretty
white hot.
Yeah, hot over, right, as a babyface, even though they kept him as heel because he was going against Reigns and all that stuff.
When they had they had his backstory, right? They had the rebuild.
Yeah, from the knee injury and all that. And now he actually is going babyface, and he seems kind of lukewarm right now. So they kind of really screwed that up, I think, as far as, like, he was, like, white hot to be a babyface as soon as he got back. They held off on it because they wanted to pin him against Reigns. Now they do want to turn him babyface, and, like, he's kind of getting decent reactions, but it's not, like, super, like, over like he was maybe 3-4 months ago. But anyway,
right, because you can't, he's not a definitive heel or face right now. He's kind of like that Randy Orton, I'm gonna defy authority, you're gonna cheer for me because I'm going against the man kind of thing. But the man is Mick Foley, who is the face GM, and he's cozying up to the heel. I don't know, and Stephanie, but whatever. So that match was okay. Next was Braun Strowman and Sin Cara. I didn't watch this. continuing on the trend of things I didn't watch. I didn't watch Charlotte, Dana Brooke against Sasha Banks and Bayley. I didn't watch that. Did you watch that?
I did watch that, yeah.
How was that?
It was okay, again, but they pinned Bayley, which I was, again,
right, yeah. Okay, now I did watch this. I'm sorry, I was like half asleep and in a NyQuil coma when I was watching Raw. They alluded to the fact that there was a double pin in the mat in the week previous, right?
Yes.
Do you think that was meant to happen, or do you think there was a botch on the finish and they had to deal with it this week? Because they didn't mention it at all last week.
That's a good question. I was wondering that same thing myself. I don't know. I thought that, like, when they did it, that they must have called an audible on the, like, you know, within the last week to say, you know, all right, Sasha's shoulders were also down, because they didn't mention it on last week's show at all.
Like, right. So it and was kind of. I think there was a directive. If, as we heard, I think Meltzer had said it. There was a directive to the announcers not to bring it up.
Yeah,
which I feel like there was a botch there.
They must have changed their minds, I think, because I don't know what they were doing. The whole thing's been kind of a mess, right? Like, so Banks got hurt. You know, she lost the title at SummerSlam. They brought Bayley up. They had Bayley get a win over Charlotte in a one-on-one match, which you would think would lead to her getting a title shot. But then Banks came back from her injury earlier than expected, so they gave Banks a title shot. Had her win the triple threat against Bayley and Dana Brooke, even though her shoulders were down, and they changed their minds and made it a triple threat anyway. So I don't really understand. Like, I don't know. They must have changed their mind like 3 times in the last month about what they were going to do with this whole program.
Speaking of people coming in white hot and then cooling off, do you feel like Bayley's cooling off too?
Well, they haven't really done much with her since the first like 2 weeks she was on TV, right? Like, yeah. So she came in, she had gotten the win over Charlotte. She had that tag match with New Day, and then ever since then, she lost twice in the last 2 weeks, and they haven't really given her much promo time. They haven't really featured her at all, like, or made her stand out. Now she's just one of the division, and she's lost a couple weeks in a row, and now even though she's getting a title shot on Sunday, I don't expect her to win because, I don't know, like, she doesn't have a lot of momentum, I guess, like you said. So it just doesn't, yes, they've kind of taken some specialness away from her, whether, you know, on purpose or not. That's just what's happened.
Yeah, I think the most amount of TV time that she has talking was when she had the segment with the New Day and Gallows and Anderson and Dana Brooke. And I thought she was hilarious. I thought she was great, and I thought it was a great segment, and the crowd was super over for it. And now we're slowly teetering on the people are forgetting about me because you're not talking about me kind of deal. So yeah. After that, it was I don't even know where to begin with the Bo Dallas push, but Bo Dallas defeated Gary Graham. Whatever, another squash match. Keep it going. The next match was Cesaro versus Sheamus. Again, another strong outing from these guys, and it's got to be so hard to have 7 matches in a row, which everyone knew was going 7, but have 7 matches and tell a different story each time. So for them to still be putting on consistent matches is a lot about both of those guys.
Yeah, I guess it's also good that they've got, like, you know, some continuity between the matches. You know, like the earlier matches where Cesaro hurt his back, So then Sheamus was able to focus on that and get a win or two off of that. And then Cesaro having to like use the ropes to gain an advantage, to win a match, to stay in the series. And then Sheamus trying to do the same thing in the following match. So they've got like this little like kind of intertwining stories.
Selling the injuries the entire way through.
Yeah, so that stuff is good. And their seventh match will be on Sunday at Clash of Champions. We'll see how that goes from there with who ends up winning the series. Somebody gets a title shot out of this. I don't know what title they get to face the champion for, but one of them's going to get a title shot of some kind.
Is there any chance Cesaro wins and he asks for a title shot against the IC champion on SmackDown?
I'll say no, only because like Mick Foley, I think, was the one that had determined that somebody would get a title shot. So I'm going to say that like if he's the one that gets to determine which title it is, but I don't know like if it's like a Royal Rumble type thing, right, where the winner gets to pick the title he wants, or if it's, you know, Mick Foley said, okay, you the winner of this gets a title shot at the Universal Champion or the U.S. Champion.
Hope he makes it the women's title. Never mind. The next match was a spot filler to get people to get time in, which is strange in a 3-hour and 21-minute show. It was Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, Big E, Enzo, and Cass defeating Jericho, Epico, Primo, Anderson, and Gallows. It was very New Japan-esque. Get a bunch of heels versus a bunch of faces and give them a little bit of time and see what happens. It was okay for what it was. It was the 5-on-5 match, and I forgot who get the pin, but they got it on Primo, which is better than...
I think it was Enzo and Cass, right? Didn't they do like their finisher on one of those?
Yeah, guys? I think that's what it was.
Did you enjoy the list of Jericho that was taking place before the match?
I did. I enjoy the list of Jericho, the cheap pop, and what else was on the list? I forget.
I can't remember. He made fun of Foley like a bunch of times. Yeah, right, for like his.
And he's like crossing it off. He's like cheap pop here, and yeah. I forget what else on there, but I am enjoying Jericho again, which is good. Yeah, I guess not exactly. And everybody forgets, including myself. There's a pay per view on Saturday. Or on Sunday, I should say. Or an event, whatever the hell you want to call it. Not a lot of heat going into the pay-per-view in a 5-on-5 tag match, right? You would think they would get some individual time with each other, maybe a face-off, a pull-apart, anything like that, especially because Anderson and Gallows and The New Day have a lot of, you know, history, but we just get a 5-on-5 tag match. So we'll see what happens. This match was what it was. It was everybody to get their moves in, and they did, and here we are. Next was the debut of the Cruiserweights. It was a fatal four-way match, which they didn't even announce what the match was, right? They just said that Kendrick and... Or Grand Metallica... I think, yeah, they said Rich Swann and Grand Metallica were going to be in it. They didn't tell you that Kendrick and Cedric were going to be in it. And they just came out. I'm a huge fan of all of these guys, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I'm going to be honest here. I think this match underwhelmed me based upon what I was expecting from them. I feel like they really needed to hit a super-duper home run in this match, and it wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination, and there were some good moves in there, but felt like Rich Swann and Cedric went to the stiff right hand way too many times. Kendrick was barely in the match at all, and he wound up getting the victory. But it doesn't help when Mick Foley introduces you by saying, these guys, they're not big, but they're good, or something to that effect, or whatever he said. It's like, well, now I care less about these guys. So if I've never seen them before, okay, now I know they're smaller wrestlers.
You know? Yeah, I think there was some light going on with the commentary also during the match, right? Like,
I would know. I think I fell asleep during Bradshaw.
Things of that. It's Cole, right? Cole, Saxton, and Graves. Graves obviously is fine, but the other two, you kind of get like the innuendo from them about the guys being small. It probably comes from Vince, I assume, over the headset or whatever it is that's going on. But yeah, I mean, the match was, you know, slightly above average, but it wasn't like a blowaway match like we saw in a lot of the Cruiserweight Classic stuff. And the introductions from Foley are not really the same as what they were doing on the CWC, which was like these nice like 1 minute videos for each guy, kind of telling us a little, you know, bit of his background and some highlights of the person. And instead they just brought these four guys out, and like you said, they didn't tell us what the match was until they all hit the ring, and Foley basically just said these four guys will be in a four-fatal four for the number one contender spot against TJ Perkins, who's the champion, who didn't even appear on Raw. So that was another one.
He wasn't on Raw at all, right?
Not that I saw. No, I don't think
he was. I saw a picture of him backstage dressed up, but I didn't see him on Raw.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, unless they did something off camera with him, but I don't think he appeared on Raw.
Which is just, they should, to make that title feel special, they should have had a crowning. They should have even had Stephanie and Mick Foley out there. They should have done something to acknowledge who TJ Perkins is and how important it is for him to be the Cruiserweight champion, and we got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe put him on commentary or something for the match, like just to introduce him, right? Yeah, put him on commentary, let him talk about the four guys, and then who the guy that wins, you could do whatever, a little stare down, some of the basic stuff. That would have been fine, but they didn't.
Especially with Kendrick. Kendrick has a lot. They wanted to go with Kendrick to win, which is fine because he's the biggest name, because people know Kendrick from his prior WWE run, but, you know, he's a good heel, so he could have gotten some good heat, you know, on TJP. I don't know. It was very, it was a lackluster debut.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a little bit underwhelming. Hopefully,
you know what? Hold on to that word, underwhelming, and let's talk about the main event, because Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in the steel cage match was, I used the word underwhelming like 7 times to describe this match. Roman Reigns getting the victory. Tell me how you feel.
Well, I guess, yeah, I'm not, I mean, you know, I'm never a fan of a champion losing. I mean, I know they may argue that Owens not getting pinned is not the same as, you know, losing by escaping the cage. I don't really know what the benefit of this match was and what the result of the match was. You know what I mean? Like, does it really help Owens, obviously, at all to be losing to a guy who's not even the number one contender before his title shot on title match on Sunday? I guess it gives Reigns some momentum, if you want to call it that, for a U.S. title match he has on Sunday, but I don't really think that should matter at all. So it's kind of confusing. Oh,
it's funny you mention that, because I keep forgetting Reigns isn't in the match.
Yeah, he's not in the title match. It's him against Rusev. So then they had Rusev come out and brawl with him at the end, and then Rollins came out and dove off the top of the cage, you know, into the ring on Owens and Rusev.
Saving his buddy, Roman Reigns, the Shield of Justice. They're back, buddy. They're back, and I am pumped. I thought it was a very weak Gotham show, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, they did, I guess, in regards of, you know, setting up matches for Sunday and keeping interactions there, I mean, they did okay with that, but there wasn't a whole lot of, not a lot of juice, I guess, going into Clash of Champions on Sunday night.
Now, not knowing the entire card for Clash of Champions, because I definitely don't, I'm going to guess the matches, you're going to have Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins.
Right.
Roman Reigns versus Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have Kendrick versus TJP.
Right.
You're going to do Enzo and Cass versus Epico and Primo.
I think so. I don't know if that's official or not.
Not announced yet. Okay.
We might have to check that.
Zayn versus Jericho.
Yep.
The women's triple threat.
Right.
Is that it?
Well, tag titles. New Day against Anderson and Gallows.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Cesaro Sheamus. Match 7.
All right, so...
Nia Jax versus Alicia Fox is on the pre-show.
Okay. So, to your point of getting the people involved, who are going to be involved with each other into the show on Sunday, I think they did do a good job of that. Did they do it well? I don't think so. It's very strange to me that Roman Reigns got put right into the main event picture. I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to be a bad show. I don't think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I mean, like, on paper, it looks okay. I mean, some of those matches should be pretty good, I would think. I would think Owens and Rollins should be good. I would think Zayn and Jericho should be good. I would... Kendrick, Cruiserweight TJP, match. Yeah, Cruiserweight match should be good, right? I mean, you hope that Reigns and Rusev could be very good. The women's match, the three-way, right? Those are probably the three best wrestlers on Raw that they have for the women, as far as that goes. I mean, that should be pretty good.
Is Kelly Klein on Raw?
I have to Google that, but I don't think so.
Then, yeah, I could see that. I don't know. We'll see. Let's get to the pot. Well, what did you final grade?
Probably a C.
Yeah, I'll give it a C as well. I think I was gonna go C minus, except for the cruiserweight match. So I'll give it a C. However, there was good news this week. We're not here to be Debbie Downers all the time, because we did have SmackDown, and we did have a pretty enjoyable show this week on SmackDown. So we'll get right over to that. The first match of the night was the returning American Alpha versus the Usos in a number one contenders match. I gotta tell you, man, I'm loving the heel Usos. Loving them.
Love's a strong word, Mike.
I mean,
do you really want to put that out there?
I want to love. I love the Usos. I love their the whole target a limb. It's very Revival-esque, you know. The Revival does that, but nobody watches NXT, I don't think, anymore, so... they had a cool spot where they hung up Gable in the ropes. They super kicked the back of his knee. Then they told the story of Jordan didn't want to tag Gable back in because he was too hurt, and the Usos wound up getting the victory.
Yeah, I appreciated the story that they...
Storytelling, daddy. 101.
With Gable, I mean, Gable does a really good job of being... of selling and being a sympathetic babyface type figure.
Ricky Morton, man. He's a new age Ricky Morton. Yeah.
And obviously both teams are good wrestlers, so they were able to put on a good entertaining match. And like you said, the ending was kind of a situation where Gable was trying to pull himself back up to get the tag, and Jordan saw him, that he was still hurt, and decided not to tag him. And then they, you know, the Usos took out Gable's knee even further and ended up beating Jordan. So that was a number one contenders match, so they will face Heath Slater and Rhino at No Mercy.
It's like 2 weeks, right?
In October. I forget the exact date. It might be 2 weeks. Yeah, it's.
I'm going to look it up because I remember they mentioned it.
I'm going to say October the 9th. I don't want to... I'll let you look that up as I... just to confirm that. I want to say it's October the 9th, but it's they're already setting up their next pay-per-view, which I do appreciate that, at least. They're kind of getting the matches figured out.
Yep, October the 9th, yeah.
There you go.
Which is... So there, that's, man, that's a lot of pay-per-views.
Yeah, there's like, I think they, like, if you watch those dopey WWE Network commercials that they show on TV all the time.
I do.
I think there's like 17, did they say 17 pay-per-views a year now?
Yeah.
I think. So that's like 5 months that have double pay-per-views during the course of the year.
Wow. That's a lot.
I think that's what it is, although I think that there would be, well, maybe it's 17 in 2016. And maybe there'll be more in 2017. I don't know. But that's the number they throw out there. But yeah, there was another one in Clash of Champions this Sunday. And then October the 9th, there'll be No Mercy. So.
And then that... I feel so bad for this guy. The next match was poor Apollo Crews getting squashed by Baron Corbin in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. What did Apollo Crews do? Who did he piss off? I don't know, man.
Maybe it's because he has the personality of a piece of tinfoil.
Well, so does Baron Corbin, but it doesn't stop them from pushing him. And not for nothing, Apollo Crews seems like a really nice guy.
He does seem like a nice guy.
There are plenty of people who have bad personalities that can wrestle that are getting pushed on Raw. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sure there are, though. I'm really sure there are. You feel bad for him because he was in a couple of high-profile feuds, lost everything, lost any kind of juice he had, and he's jobbing the likes of Baron Corbin, who's about to get put... Put into an angle with Jack Swagger. Not free. I love Swagger. You know I'm a firm believer of we, the people. But I don't understand. If they didn't do anything to build Jack Swagger up, you're bringing over, for lack of a better term, a jobber from Monday Night Raw to feud with one of your... quote unquote future top heels in Baron Corbin on SmackDown. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
How do you feel about this idea? I read this a little earlier today. And
I like how we don't go over these things and you throw it at me on air.
I was saying it was centered around Shelton Benjamin, right? So Shelton Benjamin was supposed to return to WWE and join SmackDown Live a month or two ago.
Right.
And he had a shoulder injury.
Torn rotator cuff.
And he's going to be out for about 6 months or whatever it was from when he had the surgery. But there was an idea, apparently, that's been floated of them doing what was referred to as a shooters-type group, where it would be Shelton Benjamin, Jack Swagger, and maybe Dolph Ziggler. as guys with like amateur backgrounds, sort of like the varsity club.
I swear to you, I was just going to say that. Are they all going to wear letter jackets?
That wasn't in the article, but I don't know if that's an idea that you would be on board with.
Would it be with American Alpha as well? Did they mention American
Alpha? Well, the interesting thing about the article, but the accuracy of which I guess we could, I don't know how accurate it all is, but I guess the original idea for that type of a gimmick was floated for NXT with Gable, and Vince apparently did not like that idea, so the angle was scrapped. And it turned, which I guess was okay because it turned into American Alpha, which was really good.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess if he scrapped an idea for NXT, why they would put it on SmackDown, I have no idea. Like a year or two later, but
Vince probably already forgot about it. Actually, yeah.
So I don't know. That's just something I read. It was interesting. I guess because I don't really think that. Like they said they put Swagger in something with Corbin. I don't know how much direction they have for either guy at this point. I don't know what they were going to do with Benjamin when he came back, and Ziggler is at a point where he just keeps losing all these title matches. So I don't know, I thought that would be interesting for those guys to do for a little while if they do go through with that idea, but we'll see.
I am all for that idea. I think that sounds fantastic. I'm a big fan of Ziggler and Jack Swagger, of course. The reason behind the Bullet Club was because they were all shooters in the beginning. So it's really a take of a take of a take of a take. Of an angle, but it'll be something fresh. And Shelton Benjamin, but the thing about Shelton Benjamin is he was never the greatest guy on the mic. So for him to run, I don't know, maybe he worked, he probably worked out a lot in pro wrestling, Noah. So, I love it. A bunch of guys that can wrestle, and I like the gimmick. So I'm all for that. If I get my man Jack Swagger some main TV time. Speaking of not winning the big one, Intercontinental title match, The Miz against Dolph Ziggler. Man, this was a hell of a match. What a match between these two. Ziggler's bumping for The Miz. Miz is working his ass off. He's being the great heel. Maurice out there is making it even better. And these two had a really good match. A lot of close near falls. And I'm just loving everything The Miz does lately. I really am.
Yeah, it was really good. They've had a couple of good matches lately between the two of them for the IC title. And this one was also very good. It was about 16 minutes long in the middle of SmackDown. Easily the best match on, not easily, but definitely the best match on the show. Miz won again. They called back to the match at Backlash, where Maurice used some sort of spray in Ziggler's face to cost him the victory. So she tried that again. The referee caught her, sent her to the back, but Miz ended up grabbing the spray when they were on the outside of the ring and used it on Ziggler himself while the ref wasn't looking and kind of stole another victory. So I don't know if they're going to keep giving Ziggler opportunities based off of the fact that Miz has been cheating. Originally, I'd heard there was a plan to put them in a cage to kind of keep Maurice and any shenanigans out, but I don't know if they're still going to do that because whether it matters that Raw just did a cage match this week or not, I don't know if it does.
I don't think it should, and I think that this kind of thing back in the day, this is what led up to those gimmick matches. This is what
led
up
makes sense.
To, yeah. You put somebody in a cage to keep from the outside interference, to keep from any kind of chicanery, and this would be perfect old-school booking 101 in the cage. Miz loses clean, Dolph Ziggler, and then Dolph Ziggler has a run with the title. So if that's on the table, I am 100% all for it.
Yeah, that's a nicely booked program,
yeah,
I would say.
Absolutely.
They've had going for a little while.
Great job by them. Then Randy Orton defeats Rowan. And then Bray cuts another promo afterwards saying the same thing that he's been saying.
For 3 or 4 years, yeah.
3 or 4 years, yeah. Orton's a human. Bray is a god. End scene. Rah! Next. Naomi and Nikki defeated Carmella and Natalya via DQ. Nikki and Naomi cut a good promo beforehand. They sounded really good, and they came out, and then Carmella just beat the hell out of Nikki on the outside. I assume they're leading to some sort of gimmick match themselves, maybe a no DQ match. I think they did put that on.
Did they announce it? I think they said Nikki and Carmella might be no DQ or falls count anywhere or something along those lines. Let me check that for you while you...
No problem. Did they mention it was going to be the lingerie pillow fight?
They didn't say that.
Okay.
I noticed you said you enjoyed the Naomi and Nikki Bella promo. Are you a fan of the glow? Is that what you're talking about?
You know what? I really am. I like her entrance. I think it's something different. And all about the glow. I forget what her catchphrase was, but it was something about the glow. But, they sounded better. Naomi sounded better. It was probably the most I've heard her talk on TV in a long time. And kudos to them for giving them a program. That led us to the main event. Dean Ambrose defeated John Cena via pin. These two had a had an average match. I wouldn't write home about it, but it was good to see John Cena take a clean loss on TV without any kind of chicanery.
Yeah, it was. I think I read that it was the first time that John Cena had lost cleanly on television since 2009. Like, wow. On a TV, like, non, obviously non-pay-per-view, right? But, right. Like, on TV in 7 years. He lost to Triple H on Raw, I think, in, like, 2009 or something like that.
Of course, with Triple H. That's awesome. I mean, I think that shows a lot for Dean Ambrose. They're really trying to get... They're trying to give Ambrose the rub, if you will, make him a legitimate contender. The roll-up, you're not going to hit a finish on John Cena and clean. I actually don't think I've seen anybody kick out a dirty deed since old John Cena did, do you?
I'd have to, I guess...
Not that I can remember off the top of my head, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he hit it on Brock at Mania? Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know. I feel like he did, right? He pit him on, like, a chair or something like that, probably. Like, he did on the chair, and Brock kicked out anyway because he's Brock.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I have to go back and watch
probably,
that match.
You're probably right, actually. I probably won't. I liked the match. It was okay. You know, they didn't get much time. They got 10 minutes for a main event, which was a little... You know, I would have liked to see him have a little bit more time because I feel like they just started the match... 4 minute commercial and then opening segment. It kind of felt a little disjointed to me, but it was what it was.
Two things, I guess, on SmackDown before we move on. So one, the show opened with the Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch contract signing.
Yep.
How did you think that was?
Well, it was a contract signing, you know, the usual. There wasn't a fight. There was like some pushing and shoving, right? They pushed on the table.
Yeah, I think she hit her with the contract and then flipped the table. Alexa hit her with like the contract book and then flipped the table on top of her. And then Becky brawled up into the aisle with her, I think, up the
ramp. Oh, then I definitely fast forward to that part too. Yeah. I saw...
No respect for Alexa Bliss.
No, I just... it was... I was sick the past 2 days. If you have Optimum, if you're fast forwarding and you press play, it takes like a good 4 or 5 seconds to actually stop it. By that time, the contract signing was over. It's not my fault.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask about was they made Styles versus Ambrose for the title next week on SmackDown. So they booked that a week.
Well, yeah, we didn't get to that part talking about the main event. Afterwards, Styles had come out. He did his flying forearm off the
barricade,
thank you, on John Cena, ran in the ring, hit the Pele kick on Ambrose, and then here's a problem that I had with, then you have Daniel Bryan come out, and they're both in the ring, and then Daniel Bryan announces there's going to be a title match, a singles title match between AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. Crowd gets super hyped, and then he's like, next week, and the crowd just doo-doos all over that. Like, don't, if you want to, you don't build the live crowd up. It's a live show. Tell them it's going to be a title match and then announce it next week from your face, you know, your face general manager, whatever. But, and then Ambrose got the upper hand on Styles and he hit him with dirty deeds. So, they did this recently, right? There was a wasn't there a trip? Maybe it was over the summer. There was a triple threat match, and then a week before they gave away the title match. They had a title change. Who was that? There was a title change only to have a title change. I forget what it was. Seth Rollins?
There was a title change
or a match on Raw. Maybe it was right before SummerSlam, and then SummerSlam was the same match later. It's going to bother me.
Was it Roman Reigns and Rusev you're talking about? They did Roman Reigns and Rusev on Raw for non-title, and Roman beat him, and then they're supposed to do it again at SummerSlam, and they ended up having like a non-match because they just went like a little quick injury angle.
That might have been what I was thinking of, yeah. It doesn't matter who wins this match. You know? It takes away... You're taking away from your main event. I mean, I get what they're doing. They're trying to capitalize on the ratings the way Raw did when they announced, you know, there was a title match next week. The ratings went up a little bit. They announced that, you know, when Triple H came out the week after that, there was a reason to tune into next week's show. I just don't think you should give away your singles, Dean Ambrose's singles rematch on a random SmackDown before your main event on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I guess I usually I'm a fan of stretching things like that out, but I guess what they'll probably end up doing is, yeah, probably just I'm guessing they'll do some sort of a non-finish and like Cena will interfere and it'll just be like a big schmutz, you know, type of thing at the end. So
big schmutz.
Yeah,
can that be my new nickname? Can you call me the big schmutz, yeah. Tommy Gufano?
I get a little schmutz sometimes when I eat like you know hot dog mustard.
Dude,
ketchup,
I got schmutz when I do anything over here on this thing. Because I have raccoons nuts on my face.
Mm. Wait, like the nuts that a raccoon would get, like an acorn? Is that what you're telling me?
Yep.
Like an acorn in your beard.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, might be stocking up for the winter, bro.
Those are squirrels, bro. Raccoons eat garbage. Squirrels eat the acorns, I believe.
Squirrels eat acorns? What do raccoons eat then?
Garbage.
Squirrels?
I'm going to get you like a book, like an Animal Kingdom book. I feel like we can...
Yeah, maybe I'll learn something that way.
Let's segue from squirrels nuts.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. I didn't know we were going on nipples. That's my favorite part of this.
Nipples and squirrel nuts. It's the show, people.
All
time records for all feet listens this week.
All class here at the Ohio Long Wrestling Podcast.
It's happening.
So, where are we talking about? Oh, that you were not a big fan of giving away squirrel nuts for free on TV.
Well, I guess I understand it, at least in terms of, like I said, it's a three-way feud. I like the fact that at least they booked it a week out, and they didn't just, you know, turn on SmackDown next Tuesday, and then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're doing the one-on-one rematch for the WWE Championship. So that's good. Yeah, like you said, the way they executed it was a little poor. I don't know if that was, like, intentionally, like, the script with the way that Brian worded it when he announced the match. You know, he could have probably said next week on SmackDown we're gonna have a one-on-one rematch, as opposed to being like, we're gonna have a one-on-one rematch next week on SmackDown, and the crowd get all pissed off. Or just have him do like a vignette backstage, like William Regal does sometimes, and just be like, okay, by the way, fans for SmackDown next week, tune in because you're gonna see AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship, and then you could have put some canned heat in there, and that would have been a good
deal. Yeah, and then he said, "Oh my gosh, this is the greatest announcement I've ever made." Oh my gosh, double wrist lock. Oh my gosh.
Zack Sabre Jr.
I was going to say Zack Sabre Jr., my best friend Brian Kendrick. Oh my gosh, Zack Sabre.
Have you ever seen that before? Oh my gosh.
Finn. Yeah. I thought SmackDown was a far better show than Raw was this week. Again, I think it has a lot to do with the two-hour time frame. You're getting a decent amount of action in a two-hour show. 40 to 45 minutes in a wrestling in a two-hour show. That's pretty good considering you have a lot of commercials and stuff like that. So kudos to them. I'm going to go ahead and give this week's show a B.
Yeah, I'll say B as well. That sounds about right to me. They had a couple of good matches in there. They set up stuff for next week. Keeps it interesting. Good enough for me. Like we say every week, I feel like 2 hours is a lot easier to get through than three. And if they can keep things interesting, then makes for at least a watchable show every week.
I don't ask for a lot, but all I ask for is a watchable show. So at this point, I think I'm going to let you man the battleship here and talk about what you saw in NXT.
Yeah, well, this week's NXT was kind of a follow-up to, you know, the big angle from the week prior was Samoa Joe injuring Shinsuke Nakamura. They said he's going to be out, I think, 6 to 12 weeks is the storyline. Samoa Joe and William Regal had a bit of a back and forth where Joe basically threatened Regal that he would beat up the whole roster if Regal didn't give him the championship match, or at least the championship back in general. So they're building to something there. First match on the show was Austin Aries versus Oney Lorcan. Basically, it was a showcase for Aries. He won in about 6.5 minutes. And he called out Hideo Itami afterwards. Itami came out, and then Aries ran away. So they're just kind of building up something between those two guys. They had footage from a pull-apart brawl that Gargano and Ciampa had with the Revival in a parking lot. That was pretty solid. It just continues to build up their eventual rematch. Billy Kay beat Aaliyah. They're trying to build up Billy Kay, something special in the women's division. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but I guess we'll see. Let's see, Asuka is going to face Liv Morgan next week. I guess, I don't know what they're going to do with women's challengers, but they're doing that for next week. And then the main event was Andrade Cien Almas versus the NXT debut of Cedric Alexander. Thought they had a solid match. It went a little under 10 minutes. You know, Almas continues to, I guess, not get a lot of fan support, you could say, whereas Cedric had a lot of fan support. And Cedric ended up winning the match with the lumbar check. So no shenanigans, none of that stuff. And after the match was over, they shook hands, and Almas kind of put him over, but they seemed like they're teasing maybe Almas turning heel at some point. Just seemed like it was like, I thought it was going to happen here, and then it didn't. He just raised his arm and shook his hand and left the ring, and the show went off the air. But
how big do you think Almas is?
Like, height-wise?
Yeah, weight-wise.
I'll say, how much does he weigh? I'll say like 235.
He is that big, so he's no chance of being the cruiserweights?
I guess not. If he really is that big, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what his actual weight is, but I think cruiserweights is what, 205?
205, yeah. I'm just kind of confused as what they're doing with Cedric. You know, I guess these cruiserweights are going to be, they're going to be on NXT and on Raw. That seems like the thing.
I think so. I think that's what they're going to do for some of these guys for right now, especially guys like, I guess, Gargano and Ciampa, even though they didn't appear on Raw. They were advertised as being part of the cruiserweight division. So at some point, they'll be on Raw, and they're still in NXT. So maybe some of the guys will be doing double duty. I don't really know. But apparently, Cien Almas is 180 pounds. So I'm way off.
Is he really? Sure. Is that?
He's 5'11", 180. Seemed okay. A little stockier than that to me, based off of what I saw.
All right.
But
he might have bulked up.
I'm not a doctor.
You think he shot up to Vitamin World?
I mean,
Monster Mass Gainer? Took some Up Your Mass? Mass Gainer 9000? Yeah, it's actually a product called Up Your Mass. That's a true story. Carnivore Mass, you think he took? Muscle and Weight Gainer? Lean Gainer?
We're really hitting a lot of home runs on this podcast tonight between Nipples, Squirrel Nuts, and Up Your Mass.
You know, Olga is trying to tell a customer that you're looking for Up Your Mass? Punch in the nuts.
Do you recommend? You feel like, listen, I recommend Up Your Mass. Can you? I think you need to. This is what I would suggest.
I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna get Up Your Mass. You know, I'm rolling off. No, I'm not gonna. Whoa, that almost got far worse. What did you think of it? I'm speaking from an outsider's perspective because I didn't see NXT this week. Do you feel like there's less heat on NXT now that most of the guys are gone?
Was my less than scintillating recap? Is that what did it for you?
No, I thought it was titillating.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that a game? Oh, Tetherball. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that wasn't even close, Joe.
No, titillating. Isn't Tetherball just like there's like a ball on a string and you're just knocking it around like a post? I don't even know how that works.
I thought that was baseball. No, that's right. Baseball's an activity. It's not a sport. That's for you, Keith. You putts.
Well, that hurts a little bit.
No, I think, you know. Anyway. Tetherball, yeah, you're right. Tetherball is the one where you hit it back and forth, and whoever wraps it around the pole the fastest wins.
Oh, is that what it is?
You know, we should Facebook Live Tetherball.
Okay. Let's. How about that. Your two dogs playing Tetherball? That might be better for
Are everybody. You kidding? Chance and Hunter?
Yeah.
I mean, I put money on, who do you think would win?
Probably Hunter.
I would say Hunter, yeah. Chance would
win. The quickness.
Yeah. Chance is dumb as a bucket of shrimp.
Chance has got a good ground game.
He does like. That. He's got good jiu-jitsu.
Hunter's got better strikes.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. He dives in, he dives out. What the hell was I saying about NXT?
So you said
is there a lack of direction, not as much heat?
Well, I don't know if there's a lack of direction per se, but I would say it's not as, you know, given the guys that have left NXT and some of the changes that they've undergone, there is probably a little bit less interest or heat for the show overall with some of the superstars that they have, but I think they still have a direction, right? Like they have Aries and Atami going in a direction. They still have Joe and Nakamura heading in a direction. Gargano and Ciampa versus the Revival is a direction.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're still doing things like that. I think they have to figure out the women's division because they basically depleted it completely.
Yeah, they got Asuka and that's really it.
Yeah, so they got Ember Moon, but she just debuted. I don't know if you want to throw her right into the title match right away. But
I heard a rumor that Crazy Mary Dobson was going to be going to NXT.
Well, they're doing this group called Sanity. I don't know if she's in that group or not, but there's a group that's supposed to debut soon.
Who may or may not have a guy with the initials of E and a Y in it.
That's possible.
Who is actually my fantasy football guru. Every week, he hooks me up with some good advice. I want to shout out to E Yizzle. Can I do that? E Yeezy? Can I say that? E Yizzle?
I mean, you can.
E Wizzle? Fizzle sticks?
I can't guarantee that's going to get over, but we could try.
I could try it. So, did you enjoy NXT?
Yeah, it's only an hour. I mean, it's a 45-50 minutes, you know.
That's your barometer of if you enjoyed is how long the show is?
I mean, let's put it this way. I watched it on the network, and it was live, and I didn't get a chance to fast-forward it, and I didn't really have much issue. Although okay. I did do a load of laundry during the show. That was during the Billie Kay match, so.
Why? Because women, you know what? Let's not even go there. But
Mandy Rose is super hot, by the way.
Who?
I think it's Mandy Rose.
I'm like a porn star. Not that I do that.
Mandy Rose is pretty hot.
Mandy is what an NXT superstar should look like in her, whatever. Okay, so, I mean, I hope they have I know they are pushing Liv Morgan, so hopefully she gets a competitive match with
Asuka. Backwards flat brim hats, right? She wears all the time.
Well, she's a tap-out girl. That's the first time I've heard of that. Well, speaking of places we've been, I would like everybody to know that last Friday night, things got hectic, things got crazy, and me and Joe were almost victims.
Delete!
We were almost deleted at the hands of the wild, of the crazy, broken Matt Hardy at House of Hardcore 17 in St. James, New York. First and foremost, if you were at House of Hardcore, myself, The Stallion, and The Natural were there. We were slinging shirts for you guys. Joe was selling his ass off in figures, collectibles. The guy was like a young Don West on Home Shopping Network out there. He was slinging them the whole time. Yeah, I thought we had a great time. Pretty much what had happened was House of Hardcore was looking for a street team. So we went ahead and we helped get the word out for them, and they in turn had us at their show. They really hooked us up, and we did the merch and stuff like that for them, and we got a chance to meet all the guys there, pictures, talk to the guys, and it was really just a really cool experience. It was my first ever House of Hardcore show. It was the first time they came to Long Island, and I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a fun time. We got there, I mean, you were there a couple hours before the show. I got there like 6:15, which is right when they were opening the doors. There was merchandise tables. We were obviously working one of them for House of Hardcore.
The best damn merch team you've ever seen.
And it was some wrestlers signing autographs at their own tables before the show as fans started to roll in. It was at the old, people that are on Long Island, the old Spaceplex. It's a hockey arena as well now. But they had, I thought it was an interesting setup with the ring and everything. They were filming it. And, so we were doing that. We were kind of making some rounds. We got to meet some wrestlers, which was nice. The matches were entertaining. Not that long of a show. It was maybe like 7 or 8 matches, I would say, with an intermission in between. We got to meet some of the guys. There's a really, really good Tony Nese and Ricochet match that was like second from the top at the end of the show. Rhino and Tommy Dreamer was the main event. Sandman made an appearance. Pete Gass made an appearance, if people were interested in the Main Street Posse.
No, nobody's interested in the Main Street Posse. Other matches on the card, you had Team Tremendous against Vic Delicious.
There was like a 6-man they were in.
Yeah,
they were in a 6-man tag. They won that.
That was a really good match. I'm a big fan of Team Tremendous.
Matt Stryker was on the card. He beat Alex Reynolds, I believe. Yeah. Kurt Hawkins won his matches last weekend on the Indies, I believe.
Yeah. So Eddie Kingston lost to Bull James.
Yep. And Matt Hardy fought Aaron Rex / Stevens / Damian Sandow. In like the match before intermission,
it was up to you if you wanted to treat or delete. But it was really a cool experience. I don't think I've ever been to a more fan friendly event. When I walked in, I got there at about a little after 5 o'clock, and I walked in. I'm telling you, it was a couple of the merch guys, the guys that were running the show. Like, it was me, them, Tommy Dreamer, Tony Nese, Hornswoggle, Kurt Hawkins, and I was like, why am I here? Like, what am I doing here? And everybody was super cool. Got a chance to meet Ricochet. He's like one of the guys that I've been watching for a very long time. I never got a chance to meet him. Ricochet, Aaron Rex, Matt Hardy, all, you know, phenomenal guys. And when I say, like, these guys are amazing with the fans, they, you know, House of Hardcore really goes above and beyond to make sure it's like an old DCW show. You're going to meet all the guys. You're going to get surprises. I think it was a really well done event. Everything was super professional. our good buddy Brian Orlando was out there. He was doing the ring announcing duties, split with Steven DeAngelis, and man, just a really good time, a good time for the fans. And I'll definitely be going back there. Hopefully House of Hardcore, I hear, is going to be coming back. And I believe they said April. I don't want to coach you on that, but I'm pretty sure they said they were going to be doing a double shot in April. And right after, all credit goes to our friend Tim. He put the show together, and then he packed up the show, drove all the way to Philadelphia for the convention the next day, and then the following House of Hardcore show.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a very tough job.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't get a lot of sleep trying to put that all together over the course of a couple of days. Hectic weekend for him. So, hopefully, I wish we were able to help him out a little more, but you know, we were able to help him out with the merch. I think we did, you know, at least helped him out in that regard. He seemed pretty satisfied with our performance as far
as the selling. Joe, you know, you weren't much, like, you didn't have a lot of experience selling, you know? And I feel like you entered your element and you killed it out there. You were the best, the last real action figure salesman.
You know, the tough part was with the action figures was that the prices were like, not even numbers. It was like either 15 or 25, so everyone had to either give me a 5 or I was getting change for everybody. Like that, I feel like was the toughest part for me, was this whole figuring that out and trying to convince people to. Sometimes it's easier, you know, to just give like a $10 bill or like a 20 or something like that. But you know, it was...
I gave one guy back 36 $2 bills. You know why?
Okay. Well, why?
Because he's wearing a Patriot shirt, and I was like, "Tom Brady sucks." Gave him 36 $2 bills, and I asked him for change. Well, they had a really good turnout too. Tim actually had said that they did a more than anticipated and definitely come back to that arena. And actually, that arena, little fun fact, I won my first gold medal in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in that very arena in the 2012 Summer Good Fight Jiu-Jitsu Tournament. I finished all my matches via submission. So look at that little known enforcer fact. I'm gonna be like Matt Hardy, and every week we should give a new fact about ourselves. For example, Joe has granite countertops. That could be your Joe fact for next week.
I climbed a spiderweb net in the Spaceplex back in 1993. I think that's why I can, in that same building. If we're talking about moments,
there we go. That's we should have like a lower third, they call it, and like and it would just be like facts and cool stuff about us.
And subsequently, played a real Ghostbusters arcade game and had a slice of pizza probably later the same day. I just assume.
I love that arcade game. You know what? They don't have enough of arcades. If anybody listening, you know. Us, Carrie, and whoever accidentally put on a podcast loop and then fell asleep. If you know where to find a good arcade, let us know, because we've been looking. We've been trying to go to arcades. We went to that American arcade thing that was closed down. Help us find
that arcade. That was a ruse. Yeah,
that was a ruse. Yeah. That was a Bobby ruse, right? How you doing? Each week, I want to get lamer and lamer. And mission accomplished this week. What else going on this week? Oh. So this, we talked about a little bit, this Sunday is going to be WWE's Back, Mercy, cool. Forgiven, Taboo, Cyber, Slash, Slam, Mania.
Clash of Champions.
Clash of Champions. I was going to say no mercy. Clash of Champions. So we're going to be doing, at some point on Saturday, the Team Enforcer Stallion are going to be hitting the town. We'll be going out there. We watch a little bit of football, watching a little bit of Cyborg Santos winning some UFC fights if she makes weight. And we're going to give you our picks for Clash of the Titans. I'm changing the name. We'll put a Clash of the Titans out there on Sunday. We'll be doing it on Facebook Live. So if you guys want to send us your picks, we'll be happy to talk about them. That's really it. That's all I got. Anything else you want to touch on this week? How'd your fantasy team do? You know what we should do? We should do a fantasy segment every week.
That's just going to make me depressed.
Yeah. I suck in fantasy. If it wasn't for Eric Young, I wouldn't know what I'm doing out there. Thank you for telling me about Diggs instead of Lockett last week. EY, you're the man. No fantasy? You don't want to talk fantasy?
No.
Okay.
I'm tired about this right now.
On that note, I'm the Enforcer. He's a Stallion, and we're tapping out this week.